I ate that Happy Meal last night. That was the most depressing of my current life.
Wow. So MLC had Bob Biggerstaff on earlier as a little wrap-up getaway, so we thought it would only be right to include Jim, of course, as new co-host. It's his Ski Mask Collective with Ant Mead and Jim Stansel. And we also have Earl Skagel joining us, who just did MLC just the other day. A great appearance, fun episode. And, this is crazy. We're doing a pre-record for release tomorrow, but nobody needs to know that. Is that anybody's business? I don't think so.
A pre-record of a show about a past record.
That's right, yes. No. One that we did yesterday. Jim, you seem like you're feeling okay. I mean, you got a cigar in your mouth.
I'm feeling fine. I was going to puke. As everybody saw, my body is a temple. And so my body naturally rejects that food. I was going to throw up either way, even if I won.
Right.
But not like Bob, who that was just really actually a horrifying thing to see. Not in an intimidating way, more in like an unemotional sitting and eating that much food without stopping way.
Yeah, it was like as time went on, it really became kind of intimidating. I was like, we're 15 minutes in. He hasn't said a word. He's just scarfing food down, you know,
and able to swallow it. I couldn't get it. I just kept chewing.
Yeah, right.
Smoking for a little bit. That was I kept saying smart bites. You just got the whole fucking McChicken in your mouth.
Well,
yeah. I thought it was a great performance. Now, Earl, you said you saw a little bit. You said it was horrifying. A lot of viewers would have to agree.
I mean, Biggerstaff has a future in gay porn. Seems to have no gag reflex and an endless a talent that is unparalleled and not choking while swallowing, and it was, and his almost Hannibal Lecter like stare,
right?
Which is important, unbelievable.
Yeah, he wasn't looking around. He, you know, if you notice, he never asked how much time was left and things like that. He sat there. He kept his eyes on the meal. Yeah, he really brought the ball. And Earl, I asked you the day before who you thought was going to win. You said Bob Biggerstaff. So you were one of the only ones that did, I believe. And you would have won a big bet.
Well, it's if you look at the hot dog eating contest, which I'm obsessed with, the bigger contestants usually don't eat a lot. It's the skinnier people.
Right.
But Biggerstaff just has it's got like that Mark McGwire home run swagger for eating. I knew no one would beat him.
That's a great way to put it. I will give you that. Yeah, he's like a thoroughbred I mean, he's built to last at the dinner table for sure.
Right. Yeah, and we all knew that from over the years. You know, every time he would do Kevin's show, there would normally be talk about food involved or something to the effect, a sandwich, for say, a story about a Subway. So we knew that, you know, it wasn't just a ploy that he was eating a lot. He knew he could eat a lot. So it didn't take him long to agree to the decision to do the show and do the competition. And he said today on MLC he made over $100 in donations.
Wow.
Jim, you made
$10. It makes a lot more sense why he does why he likes doing the cruises now, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, with all the free food.
Yeah, I'm surprised he pulled in $100. But I think like anybody, like a novice who didn't know Bob, would think he might have some kind of terminal illness.
I was thinking more along the lines of like nobody really thought him or Jim could eat that much food. So when they saw that, they were like, holy shit, yeah, I'll give this guy some cash.
He looks like one of the Shriners kids growing up.
And did you notice at the end when he kept walking around in circles? It's like, dang, wow, that's painful. We couldn't tell with Jim. He was just puking and just having fun over there.
Well, it wasn't fun until I puked. I did not feel yeah.
Well, everybody's demeanor went south as far as the contestants. So you could tell they were very uncomfortable.
I ate a lot. How much did I eat? I ate four.
You ate a lot.
I ate four sandwiches. What did I eat? I don't know. You four sandwiches, like 10 nuggets.
One large fry, two McChickens, one double cheeseburger. And
it's not like I tapped out here.
We know you do. You lasted the full 30.
That was almost an autistic performance by Bob. I'm going to say it. Like, wow. He just zoned in and he just did. He didn't even barely acknowledge the cat Ray or
Right. Yeah, he didn't even acknowledge that he could possibly be on a show with, you know, 65 to 70 live viewers that we had coming in and out of the room. It's just like, wow, he's just eating. Like it was practice, you know? I love it. I love every bit of it.
God bless him. God bless him.
Anyway.
Earl, your thoughts?
I mean, going up against Bob in an eating contest is like, it's an unwinnable battle. It's like, the rest of you guys look like Michael Spinks that one fight. he was going to fight Tyson, and he's just walking to the ring defeated. He's the perfect size. Like, he's not obese, but he's big enough to take the heavy lifting.
Right.
I didn't know he was 6 foot, 6'1". I didn't think that either.
I was surprised to hear that.
He's got a lot of like space for the food to move down. He said he hasn't even shit today, which is impressive.
I know he has it because he kept threatening to send me the picture of it, and I still haven't received one. So it's where did it go?
Picture it or it didn't happen.
It's sleeping, man. That's a lot of work to squeeze out of that hole.
Yeah, I mean that would be a long video. You have to make sure your storage is cleared.
You better have a good septic system.
I love it, though. I mean, a lot of fun. Bob said he wouldn't do it again. Jim, is that something you would consider an eating competition?
Absolutely. I'm not a coward.
Oh, okay.
And I could have prepped better.
Yeah, I think there could have been more prep work. But besides the fact,
I could have not done drinking and drugs for 3 days before.
I think the probably helped. The acid the night before could have thrown that off. The LSD
could have gave me a little dry mouth.
Appetite the day after.
Yeah.
The appetite was there. I just couldn't stop chewing. I couldn't get it down. But anyway, no, absolutely. I'd do it again. Maybe a different cuisine. Or how about this? How about we do an athletic competition this time?
I was thinking this. I was thinking the next. I don't even know if Bob, we would include Bob unless he would want to do something like that. But I think an athletic competition is on the horizon for Ski Mask Collective Show.
And then I'd like Chad in a free throw contest.
Yes, I would love to do Chad, Jim Stansel versus Chad free throw. I'd also like to see a swimming competition. I think that would be fantastic. But you have to eat a lot before you swim.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that'd be a blast to watch. Try to make it through the water and fight the cramps off, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Earl, what do you think about this? An eating competition before you get in the water.
I think you should take laxatives and then eat the food and then
Okay, what
I like this.
I like where this is going. What about you? Okay, so you take the laxatives, you eat the food.
Right.
Okay. And then how about you have to go jog? It's a 100-meter dash, but it's in public, and you have to wear white basketball shorts. And you just have to walk around and fight it. And whoever loses the fight, you know, loses the competition.
How many laps you could do before having to shit yourself?
Exactly, yeah. But you'd have to have the white basketball shorts on so we would know. Yeah, and you'd have to eat a large meal beforehand. I like this. I like this. I like where this is going. I'm sure the fans would like it. We might have to figure out how to include blur images. But who knows? We could figure that out.
I would fly out on my own dime to judge.
There it is. Speaking of flying out, whenever we put together the MLC Awards, Earl thought it would be a great idea to include a roast of some of the, you know, the characters from the show and things like that. The Mission Love Company official awards, and that sounds like a great idea. You know, from anybody whose Twitter game is off, I guess. You know, what do you think about that?
The Kevin Brennan roast was a huge success.
Is there a date for the MLC Awards?
There's not. I figured me and you guys could get together to include this because we're going to want to prepare way ahead of time. It's probably going to be located in your area. That way it'll give people plenty of time to get out and, you know, because people are going to want to come out for that. All the fans get together. There'll be a roast involved, shit like that. Hopefully,
we'll like an actual thing. I love it.
Yeah, man, like an event. Yeah, we're giving away the rewards, you know, biggest hack on the show of the year.
Yeah,
best episode, worst guest, all that stuff.
Best pedophile.
Yes, yeah, best pedophile from the show.
Clean up.
Some people are going to win multiple awards.
Right. Yeah, biggest Twitter meltdown, that'd be a good one. We've seen a few of those over the course of the past few months. I think there'd be a lot involved. All the fans get together, there'd be a lot of drinking. and you know, we'd have to have a classic roast, but not like the roast battle type, right, Earl? That's what we talked about, not that. Because
yeah, you want to. I thought the Kevin Brennan roast was amazing. You know, roast battle is it's kind of going the way of 80s metal. It's over, Johnny.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was over a long time ago. Like, you know, when they started having people roast each other that didn't really have a lot in common, or B, really didn't know that much about each other. It was kind of hard to watch. It became like every other hacky show where they're trying to include too many celebrities who is like, what are you doing here? Why don't you just go to Dancing on the Stars, Dancing with the Stars, or whatever? Like, what are you doing on this show?
I think the one battle that could sum up how I feel about the show is the Blake Griffin, Jeff Ross battle, where,
yeah,
you know, it's a no-win battle for Jeff, because if he doesn't kill him, it's like, well, this guy who's never roasted before is beating, some people think he beat Jeff, he's never done it before. So yeah. How is Jeff the roast master if he can't even beat this guy? So
you knew he was going to win. It was kind of silly in that aspect, as he's a basketball player. Correct, right? And I remember how much they hyped that up in promotional status and commercials and everything like that. But as a roast battle fan, you're watching that, you're like, what does this come to? I want to see real roast between, you know, throw some underground comics in there or something. Yeah. You know?
That's what I like when I got season one, and I was like, well, this is who I should battle, because, you know, I know how the show works best, I think. And, you know, you had my ex-girlfriend on the show. I said it'd be perfect. She's the youngest. I'm the oldest. Uh-huh. Like, that's just good TV.
Right.
And, instead, they put me up against some Australian dude I'd never met before.
Yeah.
Like, who's awesome. But, like, so they kind of ruined the show to me from day one.
Right. I've seen that on a few different shows where they'll give up what's clearly right there in front of your face, that would have gotten ratings, and they just skip right over it and try something else. It's like sometimes it's okay to go the simple route, you know, hooked you up with the ex-girlfriend. That would have been a great roast battle, especially for a season one.
Yeah, well, because we had a battle while we were dating, which is probably why we ended up breaking up. But we stole the show at this festival we did. So it's like, well, that's the storyline. Great battle while they were dating. Let's see what it's like when they hate each other.
Right.
But then they, you know, they were so, we got to get Ralphie May on. And Ralphie was the best, but like, he wasn't a good roaster. And just like other, you know, in season three, like Dolph Ziggler's an awesome dude, but he's never done it before. So I don't understand why they would do stuff like that.
And also, I think, to reiterate your point, a regular roast is centered around pretty much one person that everybody at that roast knows, or everybody at that roast has prepared to roast that person. It's not like, okay, like you say, some Australian guy you've never met, now you gotta try to dig up some material for him. So that's what makes it fun, you know.
Well, in my case, it was a little it was not easy, because he's an amazing roast battler. You know, he's gay, so I could, you know, they were hacky gay jokes, but it worked on TV.
Right.
And, you know, with Jimmy Carr, it was, you know, I just bullied him. And, but it's, I think it's, the ship has sailed, because it's, there's not that many people who are good at it, to be honest. So,
yeah.
Run through them all. It's like, what do you want to see? Lou Diamond Phillips battle, I don't know, Jeff.
Right. I really don't see a lot of people that are good at roast battles that would be good doing a show like that on network TV anymore. Like, I mean, even some of the guys that are just running podcast networks or just doing their own show, why would they go out and do a network show? It's kind of, it's not as hyped as it used to be. In my sense, I don't know. I may be wrong.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I don't know what it's like in New York, but like in LA, it's, you know, the only people who do it right now are pretty much open micers who think there's going to be a season four and they're trying to get on TV. And it,
right.
It's, but, you know, in the first like year and a half, 2 years of the show, at least in LA, it was like a lot of funny people who were, you know, it's a specialized skill. It's like slam dunking, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Usually the best dunkers in the NBA, they're not the best players on the team. Like, you know, they just have amazing vertical leap with no one around them guarding them. So, but it was a fun show in the early days for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot. It looked like a lot of fun. Jim, I think you'd be a pretty good roast battler if you and Bob Biggerstaff got on the stage. Rehash this whole thing, you know, so we'll save it for MLC Awards.
A whole other thing. I don't know. I mean, you guys know better than me, but roasting, I don't know, Earl, you're kind of the OG roast master before Jeff Lifshitz stole it from you. but no, what I was going to say is, do you think roasting is tougher or easier than stand-up, just in that you have to, you know, respond to what the other person is saying, you know, you have to be quick.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, some really good stand-ups sucked at roast battle because it's just such a different art form, and it's live combat. So, you know, roasting, it's easy. You look at the Kevin Brennan roast, like, say, Chad Zumach, he could sit there and shit on Kevin without fear of being interrupted. But roast battle, it's like verbal bullying. You know, you're calling someone fat, a whore, a fag. You
know. Well, maybe that's why it's not as big as it used to be. So a lot of people might frown upon those words these days. Now, normal guys would say that it's fucking hilarious because it is. You know, getting called a fag or calling someone a fag is great. But nowadays, it'd be hard to televise something like that, even on a network where you could say whatever you want. And wouldn't you be afraid that – I bet you probably ran into this where you would have an awesome roast – and then it just get cut from the fucking final tape, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a joke against Tom Ballard, who's the Australian comic, and Kevin Hart was judging. So I always try, when I was roast battling, to get in a few jabs at different people in one joke. And I said something to the effect of, Tom Ballard's gay, so he's taken more shots to the back than Kevin's unarmed cousin. And I... That joke probably wouldn't air, right? You know, and so it's definitely, I don't know how the show, even if they did a season 4, could air unless you cleaned it up and corporatized it even more than they already did, you know? The first, like, 2 years in LA, it was insane, the jokes that were told. They had a rule that, now keep in mind, the host is Brian Moses, he's black.
Yeah.
If two white comics were roasting each other, each one could say the N-word once.
See, I like it. So you got a general guideline of rules. I mean, it can't get better than that.
Well, they had to take that rule out when a black reporter was there.
Yeah.
But it was just like, it was a lot funner before it got on TV.
Yeah. It seems like it would be fun, something fun like that before, like you say, it got ruined. Immediately.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was fucking everyone in the show, so it was like really incestuous, and like the inside jokes about, you know, who fucked who in the room were really funny, and I don't know if that would translate on TV to someone in Idaho.
Right, right. So grandma.
Yeah.
I like it. Maybe. I mean, it's
times
have changed, I guess. So the shows have to change with the times as well. And I was even talking about this the other day, even in terms of promotional items, you know, promotional ways are going to change differently every year. So why keep, even if roast battle is still a thing, why keep pushing it on TV if the fucking ratings suck? Move it to just pure sound. I think it'd be a hit through the earphones. I really do.
I mean, I think it could work, but like we've talked about, like only if there's a storyline between the two people, and not a fake one, but like, you know, like, it wouldn't be good if I roasted any of you guys, at least right now, because we don't know each other. So it'd just be kind of fake, like, made up almost jokes. Like, Jim is so buff, he looks gay, or whatever. You know, or Earl's head is whatever. But they really seem to get into this thing of, we need celebrities. And, like, to me, it didn't work.
So silly. I think people would rather watch that god awful mass singer anyways nowadays, because
I appreciate the compliment, Earl. Thank you.
But no, I mean, you almost, and I mean, you know, obviously I've known you for let me see here, 23 minutes. your body's too good to be a competitive eater.
Yeah, he looks like a transitioning lesbian on steroids, which just never worked.
Yeah, well, we're looking at chest up here.
That's all I want to look at.
Yeah, well,
let's go.
One of my favorite parts from the eating competition is when you put the water through your hair, you slick the hair back, you said, "That's for you, Beth. That's for you, Flat Cat," and then you tripped and fell into a hole. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. It just, I'm going to post that clip forever. I mean, there's no way I can't.
I mean, that pretty much sums it all up.
It does. I mean,
that whole night was
falling in a hole after. Yeah.
Yeah. We should have known, but when we were planning before the eating competition on how to set up a table and everything, we should have known like this is going to get crazy. And we had an idea, but I mean, what are you going to do? That's where the times are changing. Eating competitions. Comics eating.
Yeah, is that the new frontier?
New roast battle.
Yeah, new roast battle.
And it's always against Bob Biggerstaff.
Yeah.
You could have like Bruce against Bob Biggerstaff and call it toast battle.
Toast battle.
Just who can ever eat the most food.
Right, right. I didn't even come up with a name of it. Silk City actually made that name up. Fat Fest. I just ran with it. I was like, all right, this will work, I guess. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
It's a great flyer.
Yeah, yeah, they made the flyer too. I loved it. Yeah, I kept it as
a good flyer.
So
my mom would be proud.
Yes, yes, I like it. Well, so much going on now, Earl. You also say now, do you still do the Adult Swim show?
Yeah, yeah, I'm the only white guy on it. So
that's what I thought. I couldn't remember if it was still a thing or not. I haven't.
Well, it's Tyler, the Creator's cartoon, so yeah. He's so busy that, you know, a cartoon to him is like eighth on his list of things to do, like, whereas me, it's like one, two, and three, so
right.
Hopefully it comes back, but, it, you know, he just won a Grammy for best, I think, rap album, so, you know.
Yeah, he's a talented dude. That was a wild story, Earl. I forget, where did you say you got hooked up with him?
You know, I as much as I dislike roast battle for some things that went on, he saw me roast battle one night, and I have no clue who current rappers are, so he came up to me at the store and after the show and was like, "Do you want to be my father?" And I'm like, I'm like, "Oh, I'm Tyler the Creator." I'm like, "Great, I'm Earl the Comic. I still don't know who you are." And he's like, "No, I have this cartoon. You have a deep voice. I'd love for you to be the dad on it." And I'm like, "Hey, great." I'm sorry about all the things I said during the show, because this was back in that time frame where we went pretty wild. And I can't say exactly what he said, because he was like, "My." And I'm like, "Hey, can I call you that?" And his big bodyguard was like, "Not if you want to live."
So. Bodyguards getting involved. But that's good that he introduced himself as Tyler the Creator. That was probably a good relationship from that point, because if it would have been some other rappers, like for say a rapper named Young Dro, well, I mean, how do you take that on? "Hi, I'm Young Dro," or "Hi, I'm Juicy J." It's a little wacky. So Tyler the Creator, I mean, he's doing it right. He deserves a Grammy. You know?
Oh yeah, I mean, he's an amazing. He's so young. I think he's only like 27. And
yeah.
Like to see him work, like he just hires all his friends, and he's very nice and says please and thank you, and like he gets it. He drives a $400,000 car. He's a pretty happy guy.
Yeah, we'll be there soon, boys. Don't worry, Kevin's beautiful boys. We'll have the $400,000 car, but we'll use it for sweet jumps, and we'll really drive the $1 million cars around.
I'm expecting a Geo Metro with a stapled
I was shopping for Geo Metros last week. I want to get one for the show and like throw a brick through the windshield and take it on tour.
Aren't you hot in that mask? Jesus, that looks hot.
No, it's actually great. I keep my apartment cold, but I did a show on the beach a few weeks ago, and it was 100 degrees out. Yeah. Yeah, Texas, man. I mean, what are you going to do? I got used to it over time. When I first started doing it, yeah, it was hot. But now it's a thing.
Yeah. No, I like it. It's kind of like Kiss and makeup. I don't really know what you look like. I dig it.
Right. And then they released that mixtape of without makeup, and I hated it. But then the songs were good. So you never know what can happen with this thing.
Hey, we're all trying to work angles in this business.
I know it. I know it. I saw Kiss. Have you guys seen Kiss live?
Many
I've
times.
Never seen Kiss live. That's the one that I wanted to, and it never happened.
So they were my favorite band when I was a kid growing up, and I finally saw them in 2009. And it was so much fun. But like Paul Stanley coming out on a zip line, like who does that? It's just insanity because you know he's old. He's shredding guitar. The shit's – everything's on fire. That's real fire. You can feel the flames in the crowd. And he's on a zip line with fucking big boots. I mean, it was awesome to see, you know, because you know it's probably one of the last times.
Well, I mean – I think in a couple of years there'll be four black guys in Kiss and like Gene will. Like, they'll never stop. They'll be like the Jewish Menudo, man. They'll just keep going and going.
At least they can save money on makeup, I guess.
Bodies will be like held up by like metal frames.
Yeah.
Just be like
loud subwoofers surrounding the stadium.
Right.
I mean, they're amazing. Like, even if you've never seen them, you've got to see them before they die because, like, they do everything humanly possible to distract you from how shitty their music is.
Like, yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, like,
you know, lasers and fucking explosions and cars blowing up, blood spitting.
Exactly.
Drums. I mean, it's a spec. You should go just for the special effects.
Yeah, I did. I saw him at the American Airlines Center, and Gene Simmons got on top of the stadium to do God of Thunder. I'm like, nobody can fucking see you. I mean, what do you? No one can. I guess you're up there. And finally, the camera angle got around. He was up there, all right. I was like, I mean, just it's insane what's going on up there. It's worse than Guar. I mean, at least Guar, when you see him, you're expected to get pissed on and blood, you know, all over you. And that's just insane. And it was all right. You guys heard of Guar?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I don't even think Guar has a full song.
No, they got a full album. I had the CD in my truck when I was in high school. I used to play it as a joke, and then I started to like some of the songs.
Yeah, I think most of their albums are just half-written demos that they just, I don't know, just fuck it, let's put it out.
You're right. It could have been like a mix of the songs.
People like farting into a Casio recorder and just like playing with Play-Doh. And blood.
My favorite thing from Guar, they did Jerry Springer, I think it was. And they didn't give a fuck when they went on that show. I mean, you could say Jerry Springer staged all you want, but these guys brought the heat. Like there was a mad mom in there because she caught her son listening to Guar, and they were just laying down the law and why, you know, everybody should listen to Guar. It was so funny the shit they were saying to this lady. I mean, now that you couldn't, there's no way you could air it these days. There's no way the shit that this band was saying to her. You have to.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that are going to change now. Like, you know, just like the Winger song, 17. You can't play that on the radio. Like,
you can in Texas.
In Holland. I think the age of consent's 13 in Holland. So a lot of comics are rerouting their tours.
Yeah. they're signing up in a private jet. Getting flying lessons from Bill Burr. Now I like it.
So, I mean, Kiss has a song, as you know, Christine 16.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What the fuck? Christine 16. I remember, I remember being in the eighth grade feeling weird listening to that song, and I wasn't even 16. I was just like, these are
like the one lyrics that like freaked me out to this day is he's talking about being outside of the girls' high school and being. That day I saw you coming out of school.
Yeah.
I just knew I've got to have you. It's like, what are you, Jeffrey Epstein?
I know. And the most fucked up part, it's not like that was on her first or second album. I mean, it was down the line. They were already old when they released that.
Yeah. So, you know, they're going to have to rewrite the lyrics, I guess.
Yeah, how come nobody's calling out Kiss, motherfuckers?
It's biographical.
Yeah, it was.
That's the next, I think, group. Ted Nugent married like a 14-year-old or something, and Jerry Lewis.
No wonder he's out there.
80s metal people are really, you don't think Motley Crue fucked underage girls?
Oh, of course they did. Yeah, but they released that little documentary just in time just to let you know that they're pieces of shit. So it's like, what else are you going to call them out on at this point?
Invading your privacy.
Yeah.
Hanging outside of a middle school.
Ugh.
That's a good point, though. Going after, yeah, I guess that's the last mountain to fall of the rock guys going, because yeah, exactly, right. I mean, that's the whole thing. You hang out with the groupies, you hang out with the chicks that are there. Who gives a shit?
But don't you think it's a little late to attack them?
They should be absolved.
I don't really think rock even exists at this point.
It's all sad rock music about how depressed I am. You know, that's all the music, that the rock music now. You know,
but I think once they get rid of, you know, once they get through with the stand-ups they're going after, they're going to go, yeah, what about that song Kiss did and you know, Ozzy Osbourne and, you know, so, yeah. But there's a few stand-ups coming. So, you know, they're not done with them yet.
Uh-oh, if you,
are they going to retroactively crucify metal bands?
I mean, you know, I think once they run out of comics, they're going to start looking at actors and then, someone will say, hey, you should look at Motley Crue. They have a song called Too Fast for Love, and it's about, you know, younger women. And,
But don't you...
Good thing that none of these people really have a good taste in music, because it would have been over already.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think some of the 80s bands, you know, they're, you know, on their last legs, you know. But still, the lynch mob, you know, on Twitter, you can be convicted in 20 minutes.
Yeah, you could be done. Yeah, I mean, just finished. I mean, so what you just said, you said they're not done with the comics. Do you think this is going to be an ongoing thing until they run through them all?
I mean, I hate to be that guy who says I can't say names, but I know of at least three comics. I know of at least three whose names are coming. So they're not quite done.
Okay, so I know you can't name the names, but could you give us a little insight onto why they wouldn't be named yet? Are they compiling evidence? Are they waiting for heat from the last one to fall down, and they don't want to do it all at once, maybe one at a time?
You know, I don't know. To be honest, I think they're probably still not done going after Chris and Jeff and
right.
You know, I'm wondering why this is so far. It's just been West Coast comics really that have been singled out for this, right? Jeff and Chris, right?
I mean, I guess Jeff would be considered an East Coast comic.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's multi-coastal.
I mean, he's both, I guess, but... Yeah.
But didn't New York take a hit, you know, with Louis, and then other people were looked at, of course, and they've taken a few other hits, and it kind of seems the West Coast kind of always slid by. So this is the first time someone's really, they're going hard at the West Coast and kind of laying off New York guys right now, so...
I mean, I'm sure there's plenty on both coasts.
I know, exactly. So it's like, when is this going to end? Is it a game that they're playing? Like you said, you know the names, but they're not released yet. It almost sounds like an agenda. It's like, fuck. So you fellas out there, you see this going on. And like Earl said, he knows names. You might want to go get cleaned up. You know, there's websites that will clean your fucking tweets up for you. It's one click of a button, gone. Don't ask me how I know.
Yeah. I'm kidding. But the problem is, and, you know, listen, the ages of my last three girlfriends, like, when I started dating them were 27, 19, and 26. So, all legal.
Right.
This younger generation of girls, you know, if you're fucking, a 18, 19-year-old, they screenshot everything.
So. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, they're showing, you send them a dick pic, they're showing everyone, you know.
Yeah, so, like, and I think the... problem a lot of these guys are coming up against is they burn these girls, and you know, these girls are like, all right, you bailed on me after a week of fucking me. Well, guess what? I've got every message you texted me.
You fucked up.
Harry Mason.
You gotta walk on eggshells. Even if so, you start to get comfortable with a chick, don't. The minute it ends, she hasn't gotten rid of any evidence or anything that you've said.
Yeah.
Because you get angry, you may send a text you regret, you know, 10 minutes later. It's not going away. It's permanent.
End it well. You know, don't like,
yeah.
Not that this is a relationship podcast. But like,
fuck it. First episode. No.
Well, I'm hardly one who should head this podcast, but.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, yeah.
But if you're like relatively cool to the girl, even if it's a semi-bad breakup, there should be no blowback, but
right.
You just fuck multiple girls who are in the same circle. They're going to talk, and then your spot's blown up.
Yeah, next thing you know, they're all saying you got a small piece, but in reality, they all fucked you for an extended period of time. So it's like, who's right here, you know?
Well, we've all seen my dick pic, so we know that ain't true.
Right. Where is it?
Yes, where?
Yeah.
I can't even show. I used to show it to people just for laughs, just for a reaction, but now I wouldn't dream of doing that.
Well, aren't you afraid that that somebody could hack your phone and get their hands on that dick pic?
I hope they do put it out there. It's a great pick.
I love it. I don't know. There was one time in my life where I was going to send a dick pic, and it was like 6 years ago. And I probably took the picture 40 times, and I was just like, this is so fucking weird. I'm like changing the lighting. I'm like, I don't feel good about this. I never sent it. I'm like, there's nothing hot about a penis. Did
you filter on it?
Yeah, I tried everything. I was like, there's no way to make this look good. You know, like, it's just, it's.
No, there is, though.
Really? You dress it up? I mean, I don't understand.
No, it's all about the lighting. So you got to hold it up maybe about 2 feet from you and a little high, maybe about a foot above your head. So it's a nice angle. So you flex the abs and,
Right. Then it makes it kind of look a little longer. Or is it
a good time of year for dick pics, too. Nice, the heat.
Yeah,
you got the July August dick going on a little fluffier than the
a little bit more waterfall. You can take it with the panoramic setting.
Yeah, dude, that would capture everything, the must, the sweat, like all of it, the things that ladies really like, and they say that they don't. Maybe you're right.
This is why I know I haven't made it in stand-up comedy, because I'm an expert in dick pic taking.
I think it's a good thing to be an expert on. I mean, there's guys out here like me who are taking the photo too many times when I could have been working on something else.
Maybe I should teach a master class on
it. You should. But, I mean, to this day, though, with all seeing all this shit break out, I'm glad I never sent the fucking picture, because the chick I was going to send it to hates me. You know?
Yeah, you got to be careful. You know,
right. I was going to marry her, but now she hates. So it's like, what the fuck? She could have had a dick pic ready to go. That's scary.
I'm not a big dick pic guy. The one time I was giving it a whirl.
You sent it to me.
Hey.
Yeah, and I ended up sending it to the wrong people. So my guy friends got it.
I mean, I do that. That's funny.
Not intentionally.
Well, is that a tester? You're taking a like a
no. Your names are right next to other names,
I've done that before. I sent one to my niece once. I'm like, oh fuck! So I deleted it before she saw it.
Holy shit!
That worked.
Yeah, didn't Chrissy Mayer say her uncle sent her a dick pic?
Yeah. And the way that she described it on that Never Have I Ever podcast, and we were saying the way that he went about it, he just sent it. And then never apologize.
Yeah. What do you think? You know?
Yeah. Hey, yo, I know we've been talking a lot lately. Yeah, here's this. Whoa.
I haven't seen you since Thanksgiving.
Yeah. What he did was. Yeah. So he got real close where she wouldn't maybe put his text on Do Not Disturb or things like that. So that he knew the minute he sent the dick pic, it'd pop right up on a screen. She couldn't say no. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's a clever tactic, I guess. But
right. If you're sending it to your niece.
It's fucked up.
By accident. You gotta take your time, because there's a lot of names that are similar. You know, Charlotte is very similar to Charlie.
Uh-huh. To Dad.
Yeah.
You know, Dad is similar to maybe Dad. Danielle. So
last year they made it illegal in Texas to send pictures of your dick unwanted. But then don't you think if somebody requested it over the phone and you hang up the phone, you send the dick pic, and then somehow it gets mad. There's no evidence of her ever asking. So you could still.
You need a dick pic paper trail.
Yeah. So be sure you have that paper trail of a yes before you send the pic. Unless you're just a plumber, then I don't know if it would be an issue, right?
We need a fucking asteroid.
That's Earl's second masterclass, is how to produce a paper trail for your dick pics.
Really?
You have to. It's a new era we're in. But you're right, you know, you could get one. I have a landline, actually. Here's my landline.
Oh, shit. Nice.
Say I'm talking to a girl. Oh, you want to see my dick pic? You send it on your cell phone. There's no receipt. So, you know, she could burn you if you're fucking one of her friends.
So. Exactly. So there's no proof of her ever asking. You got to say, hey, I want you to download the app DocuSign, sign your name on this dotted line here, and then you send a picture of your piece, and you're good to go.
Or you can use, this is a little, maybe I shouldn't be saying this on a live podcast, but there's a phone app called Signal.
Uh-huh. That
the messages.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Yeah, you can set them to disappear as soon as the other person reads them.
Really? So,
yeah, it's a great app.
I've never thought about that. So I wonder what some other good uses for that would be. Maybe a threat, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, because I think that's what gets a certain group of comics in trouble is like when they would Snapchat, you know, say they were cheating on their ex or their current girl or wife or whatever, thinking, oh, you know, disappears in 10 minutes. But it doesn't really disappear on Snapchat. With Signal, it's
gone.
But I'm sure there's some way they could screenshot.
There is. Yeah. I don't trust any of those apps. Even if they couldn't screenshot it, it's still stored in a cloud. And then next thing you know, there's a data breach and you got access to someone's Signal account and you get to see a lot of pictures of big pieces or small pieces, whatever you're packing out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, just be crazy. Careful out there, comics.
Comics especially. You're under fire. You might want to clean up your timelines. You know,
absolutely.
It's okay to go back and delete tweets. You don't have to read them all. Like I said, there's websites that'll do it for you. They'll delete every tweet that has any word in it. So say you go to the website, you type in 17-year-old come see me or something like that, and you click enter, it'll delete every tweet.
Yeah, or you know, you type in are you really 15? They'll get rid of it.
Exactly. Gone like that. You guys are safe to go. You'll be selling out in no time. I love it. You know, you be careful. I don't know. Yeah, but I guess back to what we were saying, I don't ever see rock and roll bands going under attack. They're too far gone. Why bring it back? Who's bringing back the old albums at this point? Attack the rappers. I know for a fact rappers are hanging out with underage girls because they're buying the most weed.
Oh, absolutely. but if you look at some of the comics they're going after are older comics who, you know, the alleged stuff happened, you know, 20 years ago. So yeah. I don't think anyone is
safe
and, you know.
Yeah, but it does.
Ron Jeremy is
yeah, that was surprising.
How do you get Me Too'd out of porn?
Exactly. What the fuck? Like, you're laying a lot of dong. You probably forget over the time, you know, one or two altercations. There's a lot going on with that thing.
But he's a pig, like, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah, but you can tell by looking at him and just like, whoa, this doesn't look like your normal porn guys.
I mean, I see him a lot at the gas station. Well, I won't be seeing him anytime soon. There's a gas station a block up. You know, I live by the Sunset Strip, and every night I go there to get energy drinks for the next morning, and he's there picking up girls. I mean, who goes to a gas station to pick up chicks? He's run out of places.
Well, what if the girls are at the gas station, they need gas money? It could be an easy sell for someone like Ron Jeremy, whose looks have dwindled. He kind of looks like a hobbit. I mean, he looks like you know, one of the characters, I guess, just from Lord of the Rings, you know, with the long hair, just a lot going on.
Orc? He looks like an orc?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I never watched any of those flicks. I wouldn't know the names.
He looks like, honestly, because I see him so much, because he used to go to the Comedy Store, and he would fall asleep in the back of the room, because he's got narcolepsy. He literally looks like a melting Yoda.
Yeah, there it is. Perfect answer of what he looks like, a melting Yoda.
He either looks like that or he looks like one of those the pig guards from Jabba's palace.
Yeah.
I mean, he just looks really – and, you know, because he used to be somewhat good looking. If you look up younger pictures of him, he kind of looked like that actor from the – I'm dating myself and you guys are too young, but there was a TV show called Matt Houston in the 80s, and it's like a ripoff of Magnum PI, and he kind of looked a little like Tom Selleck and Matt Houston, and now he just—it's rough, man.
Yeah, that would suck to take a hit after your prime, though. Like, you're already looking like shit, and you got to go to jail looking like that. I mean, you're not even gonna get access in there.
And he's broke too. Like, he has no money. Like, he didn't save any of his money. So,
none of those porn people save their fucking money. They're all on drugs.
Are dead of AIDS. So
get thrown off roofs. Yeah, dead of AIDS. Or hang themselves. Sorry to say that happened. You know,
it's probably the only business that's close to stand up in terms of like how disposable you are. Like, you know,
really, I mean, it really is. I was watching this guy named J Mac and they had a compilation. We were laughing with my friends of like all the chicks that he puts in a certain position that's just fucking hilarious, a full Nelson. And the compilation just kept going and kept going and kept going. Girl after, like, it was like a 5 second, you know, clip of each chick. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, just disposing of them. Just done. You never see him again. It's not like they didn't make a name. They're just finished. They probably got paid $200 tops. That's it.
Yeah. I mean,
online forever.
I mean, the sad thing is people who watch porn, like, they don't want to jag off to the same girl. So it's,
I know, like, they keep like surfing around and shit. My buddy tells me about that all the time.
You know, I mean, I actually don't watch porn. Looks like I produce it, but it's just the closest. So nasty. Like, I don't want to see some girl's pussy that's been blown up by Lexington Steel.
Right. There's just a lot going on with porn these days. It's not, you know, we were talking about this on another show, I think, where back in the day, it was kind of a challenge to get your hands on that magazine, and then you would hang around with your friends when you finally had it and laugh and look at it and all that. Now you just fucking click of a button. And you got, yeah, like you say, 18-year-old chicks, Lexington Steel. Oof, there's a lot going on. It's like, is that what it's really about? Makes me not want to go out and date.
Yeah, gone are the days of the wet penthouse in the fourth in the
woods. Yeah, what the fuck?
Well, it's also like everything's in digital clarity. So now, you know, 2020, you've got 4K, 3D. Yeah. Curved screens that are 100.
There's no imagination. You can just see that pimple on their ass, you know.
I still enjoy the like 80s 90s Playboy penthouse,
the classics.
So maybe I'm just a artisanal porn.
Yeah, that's the way I would enjoy it, because whenever they took those photos, they weren't just snapping them. Like, they had it set up good, and they really do make it look beautiful, you know. It's not like like you say, a porn mag.
Oh, I remember the days of thumbnails. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Well, you know, nowadays the guy's balls look like the moon. You know, the girl's pussy looks like the thing Boba Fett fell into. So.
Yeah, they're all grinding their jaws.
Oh, so nasty. The girl's butthole looks like the Death Star. I don't know.
Yeah, I can see this. I mean, it's a lot. Why do chicks even get into it anymore? I don't understand. What did it say? Mia Khalifa had walked away with $12,000. You go search her name on the YouPorn or whatever you do, you're never going to run out of videos. She got fucked so many times just to buy a shitty car.
Well, I've seen it out here in person. Like, you know, they come out here to be an actress or, you know, and they just don't realize how tough it is out in LA, or I'm sure in New York as well.
Right,
and then, you know, 2 weeks after coming out here, they go from auditioning for a Geico commercial to a gangbang with a pee-pee toy.
So yeah, nobody's flying to LA from, say, Alabama or someplace like that for porn. You know, they're like, I'm a star. You know, my own. Yeah. Everybody told me I'm a star. They go out there, they get turned down for something as simple, like you say, a Geico commercial, and then they're sucking cock for 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's like. They don't realize that they might be the hottest chick in their town in, say, Decatur, Alabama. But, you know, when they come out here,
they're not.
Everyone out here was their hottest chick in their town. It's like, oh, I didn't see girls who looked as good as me and, you know, at the Planet Fitness in Decatur.
I've never been to L.A. It's like, it's probably hot chicks working at the fucking car wash, right?
I mean, well, nowadays you don't know if it's a guy or a girl.
Yeah, so you got to be careful asking. Like, how do you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Adam's apple is a giveaway.
You can get those shaved down now. You just pretty much have to wait until your hand touches a dick to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and the surgeons out here are world class. So, I mean, Caitlyn Jenner doesn't look that bad. I mean, I'd hit it.
I will.
Yeah, it's... Dang it, Matt. Did he freeze up on us?
I mean, I wrote for Dr. Ken on the Alec Baldwin roast, so I had to go there. And, I'll just say this from a distance. Caitlin don't look bad.
Yeah, he probably got the long runner legs, right? They're all shaved up and looking like a lady. You would have to, even if you didn't know that was her walking on the stage, you might take a second, a first look, and then take a second one. And then after you found out, maybe even take a third. I mean, that's up to you, but...
I mean, she'd be the best-looking girl in the WNBA by far.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know those – I know they're women, but, like, It's a whole
we thing. Don't know that.
I don't know. Yeah, but because you, I don't know. You watch the basketball shorts, there's not a lot bouncing around.
Well, I hope there isn't.
Sorry, I keep cutting out. Larry's like running a seminar on my fucking Wi-Fi right now. So I,
that was the first time you really cut out, right when you were about to say a joke, too. It's the worst. It was
probably a bad joke.
Has that ever happened? Yeah, do you remember? Has that ever happened to you guys? You guys use the dating websites, right?
Never. Never. I was just ranting about this the other night, but I'm probably in the minority, so go ahead.
They suck. Don't do it.
I dabbled. I got back into that at one point, but it's just impossible. I can't keep a conversation with one person, let alone 10 at the same time, and they all say the same dumb shit.
They do. Their bios all say the same shit, but yeah. Every now and then you'll get catfished.
The dating websites are basically the used like DVD bin at Walmart.
You know how I know that's true? All right, my last girlfriend I met on a dating site, and then we dated for 3 or 4 months, and we broke up. I got back on the dating sites, and it was the same lineup of chicks as it was 3 or 4 months earlier. So what is wrong with these girls? There's got to be something wrong with them.
Yes, and then you end up having a like one-day conversation with Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Damn. Yeah, I don't know. I always try to get straight to the phone conversation because they really reel them in. But as far as the text, no, I bomb. They're like, because they're probably talking to so many fucking guys. You can say something funny, they're like, they're not gonna really read it.
I mean, no hot girl is gonna be on a dating app.
Exactly.
Like real desperados. And
I found a couple, and they may be hot, but they're absolutely insane and crazy.
You'll find one or two, but you'll figure out that they're like just cheating on their boyfriends, basically.
Yeah, I had that happen to me too. I had one that was married. Husband came and knocked on my fucking door. I said, "Who are you?" I said, "Listen, I mean, we got in a little argument."
Banging your wife.
Yeah, I said, "It's not my fucking problem, man." I was like, first off,
you had the mask on.
I didn't. I had it ready to go. I didn't know who was knocking. I thought it was a pizza man, some shit. You know, asking for a tip. But no,
Big sausage pizza. Remember Big Sausage Pizza? That was a great
one. That's not a pizza. That's a cock.
Great genre back in the day. Anyway.
That sounds fantastic.
There was a time when porn was fun, right before like the websites came on, like YouPorn or whatever. Where
when
they
porn was funny?
Niche porn, like the Bang Bus and
Captain Stabbin.
Captain Stabbin was my favorite. The guy used to walk on his boat and bang him and then throw him off the boat.
That's yeah. Fantastic. What is like, this? Man. I love it.
I think that was Max Hardcore.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with my dad about this last night because he still does the DVDs, classic. And he's got some funny titles like Tailgate Party. Same thing. They're like, it's literally an hour and a half of chicks just getting railed on a tailgate. It's the best thing ever. There's no imagination in it now. It's just like, what?
That's redneck porn, no?
That is Texas.
It is, yeah. It was the most grotesque thing I've ever seen. I was like, it looked fun. What am I going to say? Am I going to lie here? I don't think so.
Getting banged in an above ground pool.
Yeah. Just going the cheap route. You know, it was at home. It was filmed. I don't know. What's next for porn?
I think jump the shark, man.
What do you mean?
I mean, yeah, there's only so much you can do. Like, it's
there's mothers banging their sons now.
I know, it's fucked up. I can't.
Banging their sons?
But somebody's got to be watching it. It's the first thing you see when you go to the website. Somebody out there is keeping it going.
I'm blaming the South.
It's like five blade razors. Like, where do you go from that? Like, you know, there's anal gangbangs. There's like. You know, I don't know.
Every time you get on a porn site now, the first 3 or 4 videos you see they're going to be titled Sister Fucks Brother or Stepmom Takes on Stepson. Mom catches son fucking girlfriend, so she joins in. I mean, it's all incest, all of it.
Well, you know what? It does make sense. Because what is there? 50% divorce rates. There's a lot of stepmoms out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, right?
Well, yeah, there's probably a lot of, like, you know, 14-year-olds that imagine – banging their new busty stepmom, but is that all who's watching this? I mean, these things are garnishing millions of views. It's crazy.
I don't know,
but anyway, like you don't watch—you watch probably 15 seconds of it.
Well, hey, let's. I don't know.
No, I see you're wrong. I beat off, and then I start watching porn.
Wow, That's a good theory right there. Yeah, jacking off without porn or anything like that can be a real fulfilling experience, I'm sure.
Watch it with
but the now camera. They're trying to make porn like almost like seem normal. Like they have awards for best acting and
yeah, I mean that's right.
Like they're trying to make it more mainstream, I guess. So
yeah.
And
it's less frowned upon. Like you can have. You can openly have the conversation about porn in public without feeling weird. I remember years ago, even, you know, wherever you were, you would keep it quiet. But now you could just talk about it because, like you say, it's jammed down your fucking throat. And you know what? In the next roast battle, I'm sure there's a porn star on it. The worst.
Well, they had Pam Anderson on the fucking, on all the roast battles now. She was on a couple of those. Or the roast, the celebrity roast.
Is she funny?
Yeah. I think they did the Pam Anderson roast, and of course, every joke was about how big her pussy is.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you know what you're going to be getting when you turn that on. What I've noticed lately too, there's like so many porn actresses. As soon as they get done, they're getting into comedy, and just immediately getting spots and podcasts and stuff like that. What is going on with that? Have you tried listening to any of those? Are any of them good? Before I shit on,
they're hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, what is that? They're so unlistenable. And what was that one chick on Twitter who had the meltdown and then blocked everybody? Jax Del also, whatever it was.
Right. Well, she was a comic, and then she said she wasn't a comic 2 weeks ago. So.
Well, first she was a stripper, and she got mad when people brought that up. She couldn't take the heat. It's like, well, it's in your act. Of course people are going to talk about it.
Right.
You know? She's like, I'm not a stripper.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they realize how tough comedy is. So I think they do it for a few weeks.
Okay, that makes sense because their shows never last a while. Right? I mean, yeah, I like it.
I think Stormy Daniels probably, you know, when she was told, hey, you're headlining, you're doing 45 minutes to an hour. She's like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't have any money left to write jokes. I got to hire someone.
You better have a real strong feature for her.
Yeah. Just walk the crowd when she goes up.
But then even if you... It's almost like if you do have a strong feature, she's not going to be able to follow them. So it's just like.
All right. I also love it. I've seen this a few times where the porn chick will go to do comedy, but they'll dress conservative. It's like, listen, honey, the fellas in the crowd aren't here to see your comedy. Okay. So you're going to bore them pretty quick.
Those flapjacks.
Let's see those flapjacks. I've been a comedy fan for years.
Let's see those bologna pancake nips. I don't care about punchlines, you twat. Sorry.
I've seen that thing take so many BBCs. Let me see it now. What's it look like years after? Oh, can't be enjoyable. I love how this turned into porn reviews. It's fantastic.
Sorry, I took it in that direction. My bad.
No, I like it. I mean, I'm not complaining at all. I have a lot of clever thoughts on porn. Not clever, probably, but thoughts, you know.
Well, it is fascinating why these people get into it and like, you know, I have friends of mine who do, they're straight, but they do gay porn because it pays like triple the rate of a, you know, guys in straight porn make no money. They get like a couple $100 a scene.
Right. They're just there to have a good time.
But if you do a gay thing, you know, you get like almost get paid what women get paid.
Now, do you get paid more to get really fucked in the ass?
Holy shit. I might have a new,
career. Yeah. Now, so do you get paid just as much as if you give it, than if you take it in the ass, or are you getting paid more? For the painful part. You
know, I'm going to have to ask my friends. This is an area that I'm not really familiar with.
Yeah, because that would make a difference. Because if you're signing up for gay porn, you're like, all right, I know I'm going to get paid a lot, but listen, I don't want to take a cock in my ass. You know, I could see a fella doing that. Not, you know, if you.
I mean, you know, if you're broke, you know, if you came out here to get managed by Barry Katz, it doesn't happen.
It's either that or selling a coffee. I mean, what are you going to say?
I almost feel like Earl is trying to talk us into something here.
Yeah. Listen, Kevin's beautiful boys. We need to stay on the right track here.
All right. I need money, so I don't know. Anyway.
You got a good look. Both of you guys have good looks for porn. Good looking dudes.
Yeah. I see what you're trying to do here. This year.
Yeah.
I'll take a major.
Both of you are like, you know, model-esque looking. I mean.
Wow, Earl. Thank you.
I'm straight, but, you know, I can, like, be objective.
He has an eye.
You've got the, you know, 5 o'clock shadow gives you the rough edge look.
Yeah. He could play, like, in a fisherman scene, I'm sure.
that girls or guys would be into. And Jim, you got that, you know, like
he's a bear.
You know, you got that, like, I don't know, early Schwarzenegger, plumber guy coming in to fix the pipes. And then 2 minutes later, you're greased up and buns up on the pole.
Yeah, taking some pipes.
I'm coming. It's like, I'm coming.
we could do a porn maybe about comedy and call it Open Mic, Open Gym.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll finance it. I've got Roast Battle Season 1 money. I can make it happen.
That would make big bucks. I wonder if there's – I've never tried to look that up, if there's a comedy-themed porn where someone's, like, doing a set and then, like, you know, the camera panels into the crowd. There's that, like, the big buff agent who's out there scouting, but he likes this chick. He tells her how good her comedy is, and then he just fucks her and leaves her. Oh, wait, that's Chris D'Elia. Wait a second.
I'm too close to that one. I got to be on the sidelines for that joke.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have thrown it out there. I thought about it for a second. But, hey, what are you going to do?
No, that's good comedy, though. You got it out there.
Yeah. Hey, you never know what's going to work. Right, fellas?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know why people were trashing your fucking entrance, man. The entrance was fantastic.
Love the entrance.
I loved it.
He has showmanship. I'll give him that.
He does. He does have showmanship. I was going to say that on Twitter earlier, but I thought it sounded a little fruity. I never put it out.
I had a backyard wrestling federation back in my day.
Fucking mattress was, man? I saw the mattress in the video you sent me.
No, that was a chore Meat was doing.
I just got a new bed.
You need to use that mattress in a video if you haven't gotten rid of it yet.
Yeah. I thought he was bringing it out to, like, throw me off the porch or something.
Yeah, you should light the outside of it on fire and then get thrown off a roof right after eating a McDouble or something, you know? And I think it'd make its rounds.
There's always labor.
Jim does have, like, an 80s, like, a Buff Bagwell Ultimate Warrior type vibe.
Yeah.
You know, Matt's got maybe a little bit more Scott Hall, you know, Cuban.
Yeah, mm-hmm. when he turned into an alcoholic. And that's
a Cuban.
Right.
That's what I love about those guys. Scott Hall played a Cuban, but he was from, like, Texas.
Yeah.
And I must show you guys this. I'm a big wrestling fan. I'm embarrassed to say I'm 51. And on my work desk, I have an Abdullah the Butcher.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That thing looks badass,
though. Same thing, though. He played a guy from the Sudan. He was actually from Windsor, Ontario.
Yeah, I remember him.
Well, he has hepatitis now, so no one will wrestle him.
Yeah, well, Jesus Christ.
What, you bust one eyelid open, you get a little blood in your system? Is that what people are afraid of? Or?
That guy's forehead looked like a fucking bad forehead.
Is it like he was like, his divots, and I don't know what you call those things.
Cut it up.
The razors. Yeah.
They're so big, he can put half dollars in them. And they smoke.
Does it just look like, you know, Mars or something? There's a bunch of craters?
Pretty much, yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
The Nazca lines on his forehead.
I need to do my homework on the wrestling.
Oh, yeah, no, true story. Can't see it. I have a line in my head when I tried to do that as a boy. Yeah, I tried to do the old rings. I knew that was a trick, but I did it, like, in the middle of my head. I didn't do anything, and now I can't grow hair there. So.
Yeah, but you did it with, like, the cap from a Jolt bottle.
What is it? Explain the move.
No, you just – they keep little – and Earl, feel free to chime in. You're a wrestling fan as well. But they keep a little razor somewhere, and they just – you're supposed to do it a certain way, right above your eyebrow.
To make it look mean?
You just start bleeding all over the place, and you do it.
I always wondered how the fuck they busted their head open
They punched the top of your eye.
Yeah, okay. I was like, man, a knuckle. Like, I've been hit in the head with a knuckle. I've been hit in the head with a ring, and it never bled. I was like, how are these fucking guys just bleeding?
Yeah,
okay, I get
punched
it.
Down on top of the eyebrow or something.
All right.
Yeah, well, I mean, other than your dick, your forehead has the most blood vessels. So all you do, like Jim said, is you have a, like, if you have a wristband, you have, like, a broken razor, and you just go like that real fast. But guys do it too much.
My ex-girlfriend smashed my acoustic guitar across my head, and when it hit right here, it split, and it bled for probably 5-6 hours. And it wasn't big enough. Huh?
Was your ex-girlfriend Jeff Jarrett?
Probably about the same. She was mean.
Big fan, at least, of him.
Yeah, yeah. Some nice tits.
All right. I think she's in a mental ward now. I like it.
Sounds perfect for roast battle. Get her ready.
No, no, she won't even. I don't even. Ugh. No thanks, fellas. We're all single guys here. We can get out there. We need to put out a some kind of video for you, Jim. The fans are asking.
Well, today I'm starting my. I'm going back. I made a statement on Twitter. I got to lose the weight. Going back to beautiful boy status. Okay. So we'll see. I'm saying it live, so now I have to do it. And, all right. But we'll see.
You're 5'6", 217, which is...
Yeah, well,
is
according to my corner men, I'm 5'2", because they don't know how to add inches.
You would look like an Oompa Loompa if you were 5'2", right?
I was looking at the wrong line. Give me a fucking break. Anyway, you're 5'6", 217, which is atrocious. You're trying to get down to 200 at least.
Right.
I say 180, Jim. I say 180 would be a nice cut. Nice.
That's the end game. That's the end game. Let me get the 200 first. Jesus.
Well, hey, it's middle of summer. It's going to be a lot easier to do now than it is when, you know, you're eating chili every fucking night or marshmallows and shit. You know, get out there, I guess, sweat. Is that what you do?
I guess.
I need to gain some weight. Help me out, Jim. Help me here. Help me.
I used to be I was a certified personal trainer for years there. I actually trained, I worked at a Jewish community center, so.
Who'd you train?
Yeah. Not the strongest people, let me tell you. But God bless them, they try.
Strong-willed.
Yeah.
Strong, bank department. Okay. I like it. So, Earl, what would you say? You're going to go back on Misery Loves Company? You're a big fan of that show, right? So you were excited to do that show with Kevin?
Well, I like how Kevin keeps it real.
You know? That's why we love him. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate, I don't know what it's like, where you guys are at, but, you know, LA comics are, not all, but there's a percentage that are pretty fucking phony and it drives me up a wall. So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You guys get that rap. You get the rap everywhere, you know, LA's.
Well, I think because there are so many people out here who just do comedy until the acting career, you know, kicks in.
And then they don't go on stage anymore.
Yeah. And so then they get upset when, you know, they don't get spots at, you know, say the comedy store or whatever, and then, you know, they always bullshit you on how good they're doing. It's like, dude, you're going on 2 hours after me. You're not doing that well.
Is it because they're not respected or because they don't have any new material? They're just doing movies. Okay, gotcha.
But I just like how Kevin says what he feels, man. Yeah. I wish more people were like that.
I do too. I think the world and the comedy scene would both be a much better place if they did. You know, somebody does something phony, Kevin's just gonna name the name. It's fantastic stuff.
100%. Yeah,
you know, it's very respectable, and he's like that in real life too. It's not a fucking an act whatsoever. It's not.
But I could tell you guys are like that. Even in this hour plus, you know, we I can pick a vibe that you guys don't bullshit. I'm sure you're capable of it, as am I. But
I've been known to bullshit. But we'll have to catch that up on the next time. Earl, you got anything you'd like to plug, buddy? Man, we appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, dude, thank you all. This is where I should bullshit and say I got this going on, that going on. I mean. Frankly, the only thing I have going on is the cartoon, but I don't know if it's coming back. But
I hope that it is.
I mean, it would. I don't know. You know, in LA, if you're on TV, you just get better spots, so it would help me out a lot. I just have my podcast, Inappropriate Earl.
Earl,
is there? I mean, up here, there's a little bit of a like comedy scene reemerging slowly. Outdoor and kind of a speakeasy type of way. Is that kind of thing happening out there?
San Andreas fault.
No, not really. I mean, there's one, it's like an illegal open mic that happens, but, it's literally looks like the bar in Star Wars. So, the clubs, the comedy stores open their bar area, but the no shows. So it's, I think they're in a position to succeed when this does open up because they have three rooms. but you know, places like the Laugh Factory that have one room, I don't know if it's going to be worth it to them to have a show at 30% capacity, but you still have to pay, you know, Joe Rogan or whoever his full rate. I don't know.
Is it true that what Chad Zumok said, that Joe Rogan parks in Mitzi Shore's parking spot? Is this a confirmed fact?
Well, he does, and he should, to be honest with you, because Joe drives the business of the club. You know, if Joe wasn't there, like, we'd all be making less money. And, you know, it's amazing how many fans he has from different areas of
He has
comedy fans. He has his UFC fans. He has his podcast fans. And so, like, you know, me, I have my roast battle fans, and that's pretty much it.
MLC fans now.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But, you know, Joe has massive fans coming from like four different sectors of the entertainment world. So, and plus his car is worth like $100,000 each car he has. So
each car. Wow.
The Comedy Store parking lot is not the place to park if you have a nice automobile.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's his ride. I get to park in the parking spot. So it wasn't breaking news like they made it seem. Who cares? It's a fucking parking.
I don't think, you know, he's so nice though. I don't think he'd care if I tell people. He tips the parking lot guy $100 every time. And like,
how do you get that gig?
He's amazing to the comics who work there, because it's a thankless job if you're a door guy and you know, you're a comic and you're seeing everyone go up but you. And so Joe's like, he's a comic's comic, which usually is an insult. You know, because it means you'll never make it. Comics like you, but no one else likes you.
Right.
But, he's like a high-end comics comic.
High-end comic. Well, I mean, I guess I would have to agree. He does arenas here, and, you know, a lot of people in the small town I live in, that's the only comedian they know. I mean, it's the truth. It really is. Go ahead.
I know. Go ahead. Go.
I was just going to say, before we wrap this up, any chance of ever moving out of L.A. before the San Andreas fault, or the business just gets crazy?
I mean, I love it here. So I know, like, New York's a better comedy city, and I think I'd do well there just because you
go I think you'd clean up in New York.
I mean, it would take me a while to establish. You know, no one knows who I am pretty much there. But, I mean, L.A.'s the worst town to do comedy in because there's pretty much only the clubs, and you're not getting on there unless you're on TV a lot. And I'm on enough to get some spots, but I've only done comedy in New York once, but I think I did like 6 shows, got paid for most of them. It was like, wow, this is fucking fun.
Yeah. Just traveling around doing different spots, probably different at each one, different types of crowds.
Yeah. But you know, for cartoon acting and commercials, this LA, I know it happens in New York, but LA is the prime spot. So I'll probably stay here forever, but I like to branch out more.
I like it. Every time I talk to somebody from LA, it makes me not want to go there even more. So Earl, wish you the best.
It's great to come out. You know, we'll do shows together. It's great to come if you're established.
Right.
If you're like unknown, but I don't know, if you don't have anything going on at that moment, I would suggest not coming out. Just
right.
Comedy Story, Improv, Laugh Factory would be like, who are you?
I know. I mean, they just got to check out the eating competition from yesterday, and it'll be a clear sign that this train is rolling. You know, I mean, whew.
I mean, that was a lot. That was – to watch Biggerstaff work was like
– It was beautiful to watch.
I mean, it was like watching Tom Brady run a huddle. It was just like – I mean, it was like you were the Washington Generals and he was the Harlem Globetrotters. It was like you were, it's just too big of a mountain to climb, brother.
Yeah, that was something else. Yeah, exactly. Now you said it. He's Peyton Manning running a 2-minute drill.
I mean, it's just like, it's like watching Robert De Niro do a Bukkake film. It was just like, it made no sense.
I don't know. The Robert De Niro I've seen lately, I could see doing a Bukkake film.
He might. I mean, he looked a little rough at the Baldwin roast.
But if he comes back and his skin starts glowing, then you know he's been doing a lot of Bukkake and
Yeah, I mean, I know we all age and stuff, but God damn. I mean, what does he moisturize with? Cactus?
Right. I think it's all the stress. You know, he's trying to fight leaders and prominent leaders, and he can't get it done. There's a lot going on with that guy. Shitty movies. I mean, what's next?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely. I don't think there's maybe. I know we got to wrap it up, but outside of Stallone, who, you know, he gives us Rocky, and then he gives us, you know, Tango and Cash. You know, De Niro gives us, like, Taxi Driver, and then The Fan with Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, so. Or Hide and Seek. Have you ever heard of that one? I think it only came out on VHS. It's god-awful.
I mean, I like Dolph Lundgren, though. His last three movies have gone straight to Laserdisc.
I mean, you can't continue from there. I love it. Earl, we wish you the best. You'll definitely have an extended invite to the Misery Loves Company Awards if you want to be a part of that.
I do.
Be part of the whole roast battle stuff going on. Fans out there, follow the show. We're going to release this tomorrow, but they don't know that. They know it's released right now. So this is an episode released on the podcast. So go to the YouTube. Check out Jim if you don't watch the videos. Check it out. It's insane. The baby oil, the whole walk-in, the Jordan jersey on backwards. Nobody mentioned that.
It was a spectacle. As long as Americans were entertained, it was a success. Fuck Bob. By the way, we're looking into that. Big asterisk on Bob. We're looking into it.
Yeah, there's a team actively looking into it. Matter of fact, I have a little over 40 notifications here. I'm sure most of it has to do with that within the last hour that we've been on this podcast. So
there's some sleight of hand with that camera.
Yes, yeah, there was sleight of hand with the camera, a lot going on. There's a full investigation. The fans are deciphering the video. I embedded it earlier today. I know clips are getting posted now, so we'll have to keep up with it. Earl, thanks for coming on, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Very nice to meet everyone. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Later. Earl.